Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta. You can get us at the iTunes Music Store, you can get us at surgery101.org, you can get us at the Canadian Healthcare Education Commons, and I'm very pleased to say that recently our first 50 episodes were published as peer-reviewed learning resources over on MedEd Portal. This week, Surgery 101 exceeded 330,000 downloads, and we're getting about 1,000 downloads a day, which is roughly one download every minute and a half. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for their support and encouragement. We have a lot of interesting episodes coming down the pipe, and we'll be covering a lot of topics that we haven't touched on before here on Surgery 101. We've also got a special series of Christmas episodes coming up, so we can look forward to that. I should also remind you that we're very keen to hear from listeners about topics they want covered. Just this week, we got an email from Jeff Hassenflug, who's a third-year medical student at the Southern Illinois School of Medicine, and he says he's doing his shelf exam next week, and there's a lot of questions on nutrition and electrolytes, and he'd like an episode on TPN. So we're making plans to do that already, and we should have that out sometime later on in the winter. So thanks for getting in touch, Jeff. And if you've got other episodes you'd like to hear on Surgery 101, please just email us at surgerypodcast@gmail.com. We'll read your name out on the air, and we'll make the episode that you want. And so to this week's episode. We'll be hearing from one of our own medical students here at the U of A, Kevin Mowbray. And he'll be telling us about a topic that's fairly basic and is important for all sorts of doctors and all sorts of surgeons. He'll be addressing the physiology of wound healing. He'll be telling us why you need to know about wound healing, how the body responds to an injury or a wound, and he'll be describing in some detail the three phases of wound healing. So, let's get ready to talk wounds here on Surgery 101.
I'd like to start by thanking Dr. Jarrett Olson and Dr. Brandon Ball for taking time out of their busy schedules to provide me with input about the most important aspects of wound physiology. Today we'll be talking about the physiology of wound healing. Our discussion is going to focus on the three stages of repair, which are the inflammatory phase, the proliferative phase, and the remodeling phase. The goal of this podcast is to impart a general sense of the nature of each stage in the wound healing process. As we examine each phase in turn, we're going to highlight the duration of each stage, the main cell types involved, and the key processes. Before we jump into the three phases of wound healing, let's briefly address why the concepts to follow are valuable to understand. Firstly, wounded patients are common. Whether the wound is a result of trauma or surgical incision, the odds are that every physician will need to manage a wounded patient at some point in their career. Secondly, it's important to understand the key events that occur in wound repair so that we can monitor recovery vigilantly and recognize any deviations from optimal healing, and then treat them with immediacy and accuracy. Finally, wounds influence and are influenced by a plethora of conditions such as diabetes, immunodeficiency disorders, and connective tissue disease, to name a few. If we seek to provide comprehensive care to our patients, then an understanding of wound physiology is an invaluable tool. So moving right along, in an attempt to understand wound physiology with clarity, it can often help to use a simple analogy. If we think of the body as a complex building that depends on steel beams and concrete, plumbing, and electrical systems in order to function properly, then sustaining a wound would be like a bomb going off. Pipes would be blown open and flooding would occur, steel and concrete would be damaged, rubble and debris would be chaotically thrown everywhere, and rampant disorder would dominate. The body's first response, which begins right after detonation, is the inflammatory phase. The inflammatory phase starts at the moment of injury and continues for about 2 to 4 days. Its purpose is to suppress damage and stifle further injury, and this is accomplished by two crucial processes, hemostasis and chemotaxis. Hemostasis is the body's response to flooding or hemorrhage. The first thing the body does here is to decrease flow through the damaged pipes or vessels in the form of vasoconstriction. As vasoconstriction is occurring, the first responders are arriving at the wound. These first responders are platelets. Platelets at the wound site aggregate to form a platelet plug, which functions to close holes in the damaged vessels and reduce blood loss. Once hemostasis is achieved and flooding is no longer a concern, another wave of first responders are summoned to the scene of the blast in a process called chemotaxis. Cytokines are released from platelets of the initial thrombus to attract macrophages and neutrophils. Macrophages and neutrophils are of prime importance because they function to clear debris, necrotic tissue, and bacteria from the wound. In essence, removing rubble from the damage site so the body can begin repairs. Macrophages also release growth factors that recruit cells called fibroblasts. Fibroblasts are akin to bricklayers. They will produce and organize collagen in order to restore structure to the wound in the second stage of healing. The second stage of healing is the proliferative phase, which begins around day 4 to 5 and lasts between 3 to 6 weeks. The nature of this phase is reparative due to the three main processes that occur: collagen synthesis, angiogenesis, and epithelialization. Fibroblasts are the dominant cell of this stage and are responsible for producing collagen, largely type 3, at an elevated rate in order to endow the wound with structure and an increasing tensile strength. These events are analogous to replacing the steel and concrete that were lost in the explosion. Another important cell type of the proliferative phase are keratinocytes. Keratinocytes labor at the task of wound epithelialization. This helps to close off the wound from the external environment. Epithelialization is akin to replacing the body's outer layer of windows and doors that were blown out by the blast. Angiogenesis functions to relieve tissue ischemia and provides the new capillaries necessary to support fibroblast expansion within the granulation tissue. Because angiogenesis and proper vascular function are crucial to optimal wound healing, it's important to always pay attention to certain aspects of the patient history, such as whether the patient smokes or has peripheral vascular disease. At week 6, when collagen production is at its maximum, 50% of pre-wound strength has been recovered, which is factored into many considerations for post-op orders regarding patient activity. For example, hernia repair patients are advised against strenuous physical activity for the first 6 weeks post-op. This is because fibroblasts have not produced enough collagen to endow the wound with the strength to withstand shear forces. Interestingly, studies have shown that the greatest proportion of pre-wound strength that healing can recover is about 80%. This defies the axiom, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Apparently, any wound you sustain will only make you 20% weaker. The remodeling phase starts around week 3 to 6 and can persist for as long as 2 years. This is the period during which the wound undergoes extensive renovations that will eventually return it to the status it experienced before the blast. Wound maturation is the result of three processes: wound contraction, scarring, and scar remodeling. Wound contraction is achieved at a rate of less than 0.75 millimeters per day due to the activity of myofibroblasts. It will be important to pause now to differentiate wound contraction from scar contracture. Wound contraction is a physiological process that seals off the wound from the outside environment, whereas on the other hand, scar contracture occurs when a scar undergoes abnormal shortening and thickening. Contracture can be a concern because it can pose functional difficulties if the scar is found across a joint, and it may also cause some aesthetic deformity. In the remodeling phase, fibroblasts function as the main remodelers. They carry out two major tasks. They replace type 3 collagen with type 1, thus restoring the normal collagen dermal composition, and they also organize and cross-link the collagen to yield a stronger, flatter scar. Remodeled collagen is crucial because it is orders of magnitude stronger than randomly oriented fibers. As capillary and fibroblast density declines, the wound gradually loses its pinkish-purple color and takes on a paler appearance. The end result is a mature scar capable of withstanding shear forces. Now that we've examined the three stages of wound healing, let's summarize. We've talked about the three stages of wound healing in terms of the key processes, dominant cell types, and duration of each stage. A few of the most important concepts to take away from this podcast are that the inflammatory phase clears the wound of debris, like bacteria and necrotic tissue. The proliferative phase generates collagen and new blood vessels necessary to restore the strength of the damaged tissues. And the remodeling phase results in restored tissue function and a mature scar that can withstand shear forces.
That's it for another episode of Surgery 101. Next week, we'll be hearing from Kevin Mowbray again as he discusses the management of wounds. In other words, how we apply some of the principles that we've been talking about in this week's podcast to actual patients with real wounds in real clinical environments. As I said before, we're always very keen to hear from our listeners, so please email us at surgerypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a comment on surgery101.org or rate us on the iTunes Music Store. You can also join the Surgery 101 group on Facebook or you can send us a tweet to Canadian Surgeon on Twitter. We're very keen to hear from our listeners and we always reply. So, thanks very much for listening and we look forward to seeing you back here again next week on Surgery 101.